And it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College, paid for by Kevin Spriggs Enterprises. Well, good morning, Dr. Lou. How are you today, sir?
Good, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing well today.
You had a good Thanksgiving, I hope?
It was very good. It was very good.
Yes, I think we all had a great Thanksgiving. And despite the fact that there wasn't going to be any turkeys around, I sure had my fill of it. It was wonderful. I don't know. But listen, folks, have a full menu today. I'm going to have Lieutenant Commander Deke Cox come in. We're going to talk about some national issues, as well as some state, well, actually local education issues, which have been, you know, a centerpiece of what Deke and others have been doing to try to bring the Board of Education and the superintendent's office into some sort of reality check about, you know, what do we really need to be doing about the masking, as well as what the superintendent has been urging people to have their children vaccinated. We think that vaccinations for kids is something that we seriously challenge, and we want to talk about that. I also want to talk about, you know, the low scores that we've had with all of, you know, the fact of the matter is the ACAP is the latest of the statewide testing vehicles that they've used. And the fact of the matter is that as I discussed with the board at their last meeting, these scores are abysmal. So I want to get into that a little bit in more detail. And then Deke and I will wrap up, you know, what we really think about in terms of the chilling effect of the Attorney General, the District of, it's Monday morning, I'll get this straight, all right? What the Department of Justice did when they sent a memo out to the FBI to start looking at dissenting parents at the school board meetings as nothing more than domestic terrorists. That has serious implications that we want to talk about in more detail this morning. And then we'll wrap it up with a final discussion about, you know, where we're going in the next couple of weeks to try to influence the system in the right direction with masking and this whole business of vaccinations for children. So let me get right to the point here. You know, what's going on right now with Omicron? What is the variant?
That's a real Omicron. Good one. Omicron.
Omicron.
Right. Because, you know, they passed up. They passed up Xi because they didn't want to offend, you know, the communist dictatorship
exactly,
of China.
Exactly. Well, as you can see, I had to turn to Deke early on in this program, and so welcome to you this morning, Deke. And I'm anxious to get started with you in just a minute, and we'll start talking about those things that I just mentioned. All right. So here you have the Omicron variant, and it's an interesting problem because, number one, we don't know a lot about it, but yet the news media seems to be bent on raising the scare factor just as they have done with the Delta variant. So that's something that we've got to consider because the fact of the matter is, as we've discussed this before, you have a certain element in power right now that sees the continuation of the pandemic fear as a perfect way for them to influence the election process in the way that they want it to be, you know, influenced, which translated means they want to do what they did in 2020 for 2022, especially now that the Democrats are having so many problems policy-wise, okay? The expectation is that the 2022 election is going to turn into a bloodbath for the Democrats, just like 2010 did and 1994. Bottom line is, we don't know how this is going. But let's kind of look at the Omicron here just quickly, okay? I was watching Scott Gottlieb, former CDC director. I trust him a lot more than I do Fauci. But his basic argument here is that, number one, we've got to make sure that we see exactly how virulent this virus is. So far, in his view, the reporting back has been fairly mild, and that's good news. The other couple of questions happen to do with, well, can this virus escape the vaccine? So if you've been vaccinated, the expectation is that, you know, they advertise 95% efficacy with preventing, you know, for you from getting the virus. Okay, fine. We've also seen, though, that there were some breakthroughs where people got, you know, the COVID variant Delta, even though they had been vaccinated. So we have to be concerned about that, too. The other thing that he mentions, and I would argue this is, you know, one of these other things that is important, is if there is an escape from the immunity, does that increase the transmission? Okay. So here we, again, we're kind of, you know, operating in a data-free world as far as this new variant goes. But what Gottlieb is making the point that this week and next week, they're going to start finding plasma from people who have either had all three booster shots, or if they have survived either COVID-19 itself or the variant Delta. And then what they'll do is see whether or not the Omicron variant is capable of, you know, living and passing on into that plasma its ability to recreate and infect. We'll see how that goes. But the bottom line is, at this point, is that there really is no need for panic. But nevertheless, you know, that's what the media is starting to push on. The other thing I want to point out to you, this issue about the travel bans, all to the good. But where was Biden when Trump was trying to do travel bans from China? Well, immediately, it's all racist. I mean, you know the drill. The other important thing to remember about this, too, is that Biden basically made the point that any deaths that occurred on COVID under Trump's watch, that's his fault. Well, now you've got something close to 300,000 under Biden's watch. So, I mean, he was arguing that Trump should have resigned. Well, I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it, but that ain't going to happen. So the point here is that, once again, highly politicized, you know, this whole issue has been highly politicized. And as such, it has done no good service to us, the citizens of this country, because these people have used this to their advantage. And again, framing this along the lines of a macro approach here, this whole thing was due to China and their own policies, knowing full well what they were doing. So we're living in that world right now. But hopefully, you know, as we work ourselves out of it, we can find cooler heads that can at least prevail to prevent the kinds of election, well, let's put it this way, election stealing that we saw in 2020. So, with that, Deke, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Dr. Lou. How are you?
A little chilly. I'm overdressed right now, but that's what happens when you get old. You get cold fast. All right. So, here's what I want to do. Before we start into this whole question about... Uh-oh, my mic is going crazy here. Before we get into the question about what's happening with our local school boards, I'd like to talk a little about China and Russia. I'm now getting help from Deke to stick the microphone back up where it's supposed to be, and we have it. Okay, so last week I was going to talk about China, Russia, and the Iranian situation, and I didn't get a chance to do it. So from your perspective, I mean, looking at what's going on with the Russians in Ukraine, Belarus, look at what they've been able to do in terms of leveraging their influence on Europe because of the Nord Stream pipeline and the gas that's flowing. And then taking into account what the Chinese are doing, revving up, as you've mentioned to me before, you know, their military capabilities along the coast where Taiwan is located, doing more things in terms of probing, testing the Taiwan's airspace defense capabilities. So when you look at these things going on almost simultaneously, do you see this as a coordinated effort to really test an administration that is failing in so many respects? Or is this just something that's happening as an independent opportunity on both sides of the Russia-China axis? What's your sense of that?
Well, it's a consequence, right? And we have to realize and keep in mind, Dr. Liu, that you know nations like China and Russia, they have an overarching strategy. And they're going to be moving out on their strategy just as we do, right? We have a strategy. I think ours is subject to more change, obviously, and as most Western governments may be. But, you know, when you look at Russia, you know, this is just a continuation of Vladimir Putin's authoritarian rule and really just menacing of his neighbors. You know, you're talking about a former director of the KGB who, you know, just is not going to turn away from the legacy of empire that he enjoyed with the Soviet Union and right. you know, and his ability to influence his neighborhood, you know, as he sees it, is significant. You know, now we've talked about this before, but it's really going to be interesting to see, you know, like this past week, Merkel in Germany basically threatened to turn off the pipeline, right? Said that they, you know, that they didn't have to have Russian gas, and that they, you know, so they've got some leverage against Putin. You know, Putin likes to think that he can monopolize gas flows and, you know, jack prices up and make a mint. They do it every winter. I mean, this is documented.
And we're helping them.
Absolutely, we are. But Merkel, you know, she's, you know, for whatever you think of her, you know, she has, you know, pushed back on that and threatened just to stop buying Russian gas. And so, you know, that's one small example. But when we look at, you know, the massing of troops on the Ukrainian border, the coordinated, crisis on the border with Belarus and, you know, Levchenko's, acknowledgement this past week that, yeah, he might have talked to Vladimir Putin about that, you know, to create a crisis.
Just might have,
right? I mean, you know, he wasn't even coy about it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, so the Russian problem is real and it's not going away, but it's really a continuation of their strategy of undermining the West and just chipping away. You know, it's the Russian version of salami slicing that the Chinese are so very good at. Switching over to China, you know, we've seen some very interesting things going on just in the last couple of weeks where, you know, within 48 hours of Biden's conversation, you know, his supposed, you know, telephone summit with Xi, you know, within 48 hours, you know, the People's Liberation Army, Navy, and Air Force started, you know, swarming reconnaissance assets into Taiwanese airspace, into the Taiwan ADIZ. And so there's no question that the strategy of salami slicing and continued pressure, you know, you call it Chinese water torture if you want, you know, is very real, and the Chinese are going to continue to, you know, to you know, use it not only for strategic messaging, but they're absolutely getting ready. You know, if you look back in, you know, even a few weeks before that, we had open source reporting of them, you know, the PLAN actually executing an amphibious exercise on Ro-Ro ferries, very large Ro-Ro ferries, which when they were being built, we strongly suspected, due to their capacity, that they could very likely be leveraged, you know, in a Taiwan invasion scenario.
They have that capability to move across that strait?
Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, when you look at what, you know, and it's always the subject of much speculation and armchair quarterbacking, but, you know, when you look at how would the PLA actually, you know, invade Taiwan, you know, their abilities in, for instance, airborne delivery, you know, have gone, you know, vertical in the last 20 years. You know, now, have they demonstrated that capability large scale? No, they haven't. But, you know, you've got people still here, you know, the supposed China hands, you know, who still do not want to even acknowledge that China has developed fully comprehensive bridging capabilities, you know, amphibious lift capabilities, and that they're doing it through what's known as, government, military, civilian fusion, you know, right. where they go out and they do things like this row-row ferry build where, you know, they've developed real capability there, but it's not acknowledged by or you know, willfully or otherwise by the China hands, because to do so would acknowledge that China is an expansionist power. And so, you know, that's kind of where we are.
Right. Well, you know, I'd like to spend more time on this overseas and foreign policy issues, but I think that, you know, at home here, we have our own problems, okay, particularly in Baldwin County. And I know that you and Stephanie have been in the forefront to fight against the mandates. We had a special meeting on August 19th, and you had a wonderful discussion outlining why the masking business is just the wrong way to go, okay? Unfortunately, the people who Superintendent Tyler listens to have a different view. So right now we are in the process of trying to find medical folks who can talk to the people at South Alabama about why not only masking, but a more important subject right now because of what you've discovered is this question of why we should not let these children be vaccinated. So why don't we just start off with the vaccination of children and the argument against doing that and what you found in terms of these heart attacks in children who, I think you've mentioned, you might have 5 kids a year in the United States die from heart attacks. We've seen this sometimes in football games, basketball, but for the most part, it's very rare. That's not the case today from what you found.
No, it's not. And so that the number of 5 actually came from an analysis of the 100-plus year history of FIFA, which is the International Soccer Federation. Mm-hmm. And what really raised our, you know, got our radar activated on this, Lou, was the deaths and collapse, you know, just, you know, in the last 6 months alone of 110, at least 110 FIFA soccer players, most of which happened in public, in front of, you know, coaches, first responders, family, friends, yeah, and sometimes thousands of fans. You know, just this past week, we've had 3 high-profile collapses, public collapses of FIFA players on the pitch, clutching their chest, you know, clearly in cardiac distress. And so when we look at just the number of dead, okay, there is no viable explanation of how we could see 110 of some of the most fit people in the world collapsing, many of them dying in public just within the last 6 months. And when we look at that compared with some of the other data that we found, it's so very clear that there's a correlation between the vaccine rollouts and the sudden onset cardiac emergencies that we're seeing, many resulting in death. Certainly all of them have had to be tended by first responders and be taken to hospital for further evaluation. And so that's what really piqued our curiosity about this, you know. And so when we started digging on this, and again, I was looking at this again, you know, over the weekend, and you know, we're now, my personal list is now in the hundreds, okay, meaning that, you know, I'm pushing probably 500 names now worldwide of people who have, you know, suffered sudden onset cardiac emergencies, and that includes things like, you know, everything from aneurysms to heart attacks to, you know, crazy rare things like SCAD heart attacks, which are extremely rare. They're arterial dissections, right? And so you just see this unbelievable trend over the last, you know, year, but especially the last 6 months, of young, healthy people, you know, dying or almost dying, and certainly their lives being forever changed by, you know, by the vaccines. Right. And there's just no question when you look at this that there is a, you know, almost perfect correlation. And there are some people out there who will say, well, you know, correlation does not equal causation. Okay, you'll hear some scientists, and I'm a scientist, right? So I get that. But I'm telling you that, you know, just looking at these data, and I'll just, you know, mention a couple of them here. So we had, you know, the one closest to home is 2 deaths over in Mississippi, Houston, Mississippi. There was a young man named Jamarcus Hall, 16 years old, star defensive lineman at Houston, Mississippi High School with an early scholarship offer to Mississippi State. Yeah. I mean, this guy, you know, was a standout.
A stud.
Okay, he was an absolute stud. Died suddenly at home on November 5th. Okay, so this is just three and a half weeks ago, okay? But then when I started digging on it, it turns out his mother, 41-year-old mother, died 13 days before he did. And we have indications that they had both been likely vaccinated for COVID, okay? And so it's, you know, you can... You know, you can take a look at that one. You can look at just in this past week, you know, we have 16-year-old Isaiah Banks, a football player at Norcross High School, Georgia, died at home from a non-COVID medical condition. Okay. When asked about his vaccination status, his family refused to answer.
Right.
Okay.
So let's just, I know that we're running out of time, and I want to make sure we have an adequate opportunity to get into this a little further. I know that we have a conference call this afternoon with Dr. David Calderwood, who is one of the serious doctors in opposition to the CDC solely using, you know, the vaccine to deal with COVID, okay? So one of the things that he said was that he completely agrees with your analysis and that this is something that they that his group has been working towards, too, in terms of why are we giving vaccines to the kids when they are in the lowest risk category, number one? And number two, there's been so few, and again, we all understand, okay, every death is tragic. There's no question about that. But when you're talking about having, you know, probably about 200 at the most who have died at this age of, what, 14 to 19, then it seems like it makes no sense for school officials here in Baldwin County to do what? To urge parents to get vaccinated. And I want you to just talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So it's, and I want to be clear, you know, state one more very quick point. It's not just my analysis. You know, we went in and looked at, you know, the UK's Office of National Statistics, okay, and we
and
found
Scotland and Netherlands and Germany.
Right. Well, that's right. Yeah. And we found just in the UK, just in England and Wales, year over year, we found a 47% increase in the deaths among 15 to 19-year-olds in England and Wales. So, I'm, you know, I want people to know that this isn't just, you know, this is real, okay?
Right.
Young children are dying. Young adults are dying because of misguided public policy, misinformed public policy. And so when we look at the, you know, the causes on that, you know, that may take a while. The data are still coming in. But let's talk about, you know, Baldwin County policy. You know, we have the superintendent, Eddie Tyler, who has been on record in front of the press over the last many months encouraging his teachers and staff, you know, to get vaccinated. You know, their vaccination rate, I'm guessing, is probably now in the 90s, if not close to 100%. And, you know, the best thing that we can do for them, for the teachers and the staff, given the information that's coming in, and it is overwhelming. This information, when you start reading through this list, it is overwhelming, Dr. Liu. And the best thing we can do to help protect our teachers and staff at this point, who are, you know, probably universal vaccinated, at least with one or two shots, is to, you know, encourage the board and Superintendent Tyler to take a public stand and to push back on, you know, hit pause and push back on the vaccines, especially the administration of booster shots. Because what we've seen in data coming out of Israel is that when they commenced the third shot, the first round of booster shots on July 3rd, their death rates went through the roof. And so, you know, we need to be mindful of you know, first and foremost, doing no further harm, which, you know, is part of the Hippocratic Oath.
Right.
But when it comes to children, you know, it is, you know, just looking through these data, the onset of, you know, myocarditis and pericarditis and other acute cardiac syndrome, also known as ACF injury, right, is really serious, you know, and we're hearing nothing about this. And at a time when we're getting so much malice from our own government, okay, our own supposed elected officials, okay, it's nothing but malice. And, you know, when we're talking about the lives of children and teachers and educators who we should be, you know, doing our utmost to protect, okay, that is our charge as adults, as parents, you know, as members of this community. You know, we need to ask Superintendent Tyler and the board, we need to insist, demand that they immediately press pause on their messaging, retract those public statements encouraging universal vaccinations, and actually implement a, you know, a protection protocol to protect our children from COVID vaccines.
Right. Well, let's go forward with this. We know that they have another board meeting. I think it's on Tuesday the 7th, and it's going to be a combined work session and board. So we won't get to speak at the work session, but we should be able to speak at the regular session. And I do know that, you know, we're working now to bring in our own medical experts too. Just, and here again, you hate to have this happen, because what you just presented makes absolutely good sense, okay? Mm-hmm. But because you don't have three MDs behind your name, then they're going to discount us. But they will listen to MDs from South Alabama. And I think, you know, your basic argument here is we've got to be able to at least awaken those doctors who are the ones who are giving, you know, advice to Eddie Tyler and them, that we've got to be able to let them see the same data that you've got through you and Dr. Calderwood, I think, going forward is what we're looking for.
Right. Well, it's important to keep in mind, too, Dr. Liu, that you know, Superintendent Tyler, you know, Shannon Cawley, who's now president of the board, Janae Dawson, Mike Johnson, you know, Mike Johnson's the only one of them who has any medical experience. You know, yeah. Eddie Tyler, Janae Dawson, Shannon Cawley, you know, they're educators. They're not doctors.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not scientists, okay? They don't get to question my integrity as a scientist, okay? I'm a trained scientist. I know what I'm doing. And you know, it's not about, you know, credentialing an ego to the point. I mean, you know, you can have common sense and be able to look at these and you know, connect the dots on a pattern, right?
Right. And which you've done.
That's right. And it's not just me. You know, it's many people are looking at this, and you know, there's just no viable reason why we should be jeopardizing our precious children, you know, with these, you know, death shots. I mean, it is abundantly clear at this point. You know, for instance, we are killing more children than we have actually lost to COVID nationwide. Mm-hmm. We've lost, according to the CDC, we've lost 939 children through 20 months of COVID. That's a minuscule death rate. It's 0.014, okay? But when you look at, you know, the numbers just out of VAERS and using the CDC's approved method for undercounting, okay, you know, we've killed almost 1,500 children, you know, just from the vaccines. Mm-hmm. And VAERS is full of examples of 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old children that have been vaccine injured or you know, died within hours or days or weeks of receiving the vaccine.
Well, listen, I know we're running out of time. I'm hoping that Laura usually gives me a couple of extra minutes. I'm going to ask Mark to do that if we can do that, okay? Okay, good. Let's talk a little bit about this question about the Department of Justice and what's going on with that, and why that chilling effect is something that you may be already feeling.
Sure. So, you know, I'd like to say good morning to FBI Special Agent McCaskey, you know, right here in Fairhope, and invite him that if he needs to have a conversation with me, he can come right over to my house and knock on my door. I'll be happy to sit down and talk with him about anything that he needs to feel, you know, feels the need to talk about. I'm not real sure, you know, why, you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, the FBI is under malign political influence, but, you know, if that's crept into our local neighborhood here and community here in Fairhope and on the Eastern Shore, that is a poison that must be eradicated by the root right now. You know, we cannot have the politicization of any law enforcement, but especially federal law enforcement, going after, you know, average citizens, especially when we are just trying to do our due diligence on our elected representatives.
Well, I certainly hope that we can nip this in the bud before it goes any further. But as far as politicization of the FBI, that's there. And I think that, unfortunately, unless Durham sends people like Peter Strzok to jail for what they did, then that's only going to continue. But I guarantee you we're going to, you know, work as hard as we can to dig into what this FBI agent is doing, what he's saying, whether or not the FBI, local FBI folks, are really trying to, you know, influence what we're talking about when it comes to the schools. So all I can say is, Deke, thank you very much for coming on today, talking about this whole question about the vaccine and the death jab for children, and the degree to which We may now have some sort of an FBI. You know, we're becoming the domestic terrorists, which is such BS. It's ridiculous.
It is.
But I guarantee you, they've stirred a hornet's nest if they think that this is just going to pass by blithely and they're going to get away with it. So.
Right. Well, I've passed the scratch and sniff test many times. You know, with a top secret clearance with the government. So, you know, it's just it's beyond the pale. You know, to think that could be going on here. So, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here.
Glad to have you here, Deke. Thank you so much for all you're doing here. All right, Mark. It looks like I have gone over. 2 minutes, so Laurie won't be too upset, hopefully, okay? Listen, folks, we're now into the Christmas season. It's certainly, you know, a hopeful season in many respects, but hope is not a strategy. We have got to have citizens who are engaged in doing what we're doing to put the pressure on these officials to do the right thing. So that's our message today, and I hope that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Christmas is coming up, but there's still work to be done. So y'all take care. God bless. God bless the United States of America. Bye.
And you've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi of the Common Sense Campaign, adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College, and brought to you by Kevin Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell Station in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of the show or want to tell a friend, you can listen later at WABF1480.com.